Yajas-chanurāgo-smin sarvesham-no-vrajokasham nandate-tanaye-smāsu tasyāpyāv-hatikā-katam. The cowherd man continued, "Dear Nanda, how is it that we and all the other residents of Vraja cannot give up our constant affection for your son? And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us?" Purport. The very word Krishna means the all-attractive one. The residents of Vrindavan could not give up their constant love, anuraga, for Lord Krishna. Their attitude toward him was not particularly theistic because they were unsure whether he was God or not. But he attracted all their love precisely because, as God, he is the all-attractive person, the supreme object of our love. The cowherd man also asked, "How is it that young Krishna feels such constant love for us? In fact, the Supreme Lord loves all living beings who are eternally his children." At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna dramatically declares his affection for Arjuna and urges Arjuna to reciprocate that love by surrendering to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his prayers to Lord Krishna, states, "Etadrashi-tapa-kripa-bhagavan-mamapi Duradaivam idrisham ihajaminanuragaha." My Lord, you are so merciful toward me, but I am so unfortunate that love for you has not awakened within me. In this statement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also uses the word anuraga. Our misfortune is that we cannot reciprocate the anuraga, or loving affection, that the Lord feels for us. Although we are infinitesimal and insignificant, and the Lord is infinitely attractive, somehow we do not give him our love. We must accept responsibility for this foolish decision, since to surrender to God or not is the essential expression of our free will. The Krishna Consciousness Movement provides an efficient, systematic program to help conditioned souls revive their original blissful consciousness, which is love of God, Krishna consciousness. The intricacies of Krishna consciousness are so wonderful that even Krishna's eternal associates, the residents of Vrindavan, are astonished by them, as shown by these verses. Om Agyan Jimirandasya Jananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jinatas Moi Sri Guru Ve Namaha. The cowherd man continued, "Dear Nanda, how is it that we and all the other residents of Vraja cannot give up our constant affection for your son? And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us?" The word Krishna means the all-attractive one. The residents of Vrindavan their love was unconditional. They did not love Krishna because he was God. They loved Krishna because he was Krishna, because he was all attractive. Their love was so deep and so sweet that the conception of his supreme glory as the absolute truth was forgotten. Krishna's every glance, his every word, his every gesture. Whatever Krishna does is all attractive. And the devotees who are conscious of this, they are grateful to Krishna for everything Krishna may manifest within our lives. By reading this 10th canto of Bhagavatam, we realize how inconceivable Krishna's love is for his devotees. Sometimes out of his supreme love, he puts his devotees in danger. Sometimes he puts them in a state of bewilderment and confusion. Sometimes he puts them in a state where they are in tremendous anxiety, just waiting, as when Kaliya had Krishna within his grips. They did not know what was their future, what was their destiny, whether Krishna would live. And for hour after hour, they were simply suffering, waiting to see what would be the turn of activities. And sometimes Krishna, he would dance with them, he would laugh with them, he would play with them. Krishna's love is very mysterious. But those who remember Krishna in every situation of life, their hearts naturally become more and more and more attracted to Krishna. And whatever Krishna does in the lives of his devotees is the most perfect and complete process by which he is attracting our hearts back to him. We may not understand it when it is taking place. And usually we cannot understand it. Because Krishna's plan is divine. It is infinite. And our brain and our intelligence is so finite and conditioned. But in the end, if we simply maintain our faith in Krishna's perfection and Krishna's all-attractive love for his devotees, then without a doubt, we will find that all the circumstances that come into our life are all the mercy of God to somehow or other drag our consciousness away from the temporary pursuits for enjoyment and back to his loving pastimes. It is described here that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshastakam prayers, he is praying like this: Ethadrishi tapakripa bhagavanma mapi dur daivam idrisham ihajuninanurakaha. Lord, you are so merciful toward me, but I am so unfortunate that love for you has not awakened within me. This is the consciousness of a devotee. Whatever situation comes into our life, we should not blame God. We should not blame anyone else or anything else. We should only blame our own misfortune. And what is that misfortune? That despite showers and showers of Krishna's merciful love falling upon me, I am unable to reciprocate. I am unable to understand and see him. I am unable to glorify his name. That is our unfortunate condition. The Lord is everywhere. The Lord is in everything. And for a devotee, in every molecule, in every atom, in every electron and neutron, Krishna is working to attract our hearts closer to Him. Krishna is manipulating the entire material creation and all of its energy simply to bring our hearts closer to Him. Because He is the Paramatma in our heart. And the particular manifestation of Paramatma that is in our heart is personally looking after us. How great is Krishna? That on one hand, He is directing the affairs of the entire universe, and on the other hand, He is personally localized within everyone's heart, and He is specifically guiding everyone according to their desires. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddesher junatishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani mayaya. So the materialistic people, according to our previous karma, we cannot remember, but the Paramatma remembers all that we have done. And it is that Paramatma within our heart that is guiding us into so many situations, whether it's either pleasure or pain, reward or punishment. Mahatmanastu mam parata daivim prakritim ashrita. But one who takes to Krishna consciousness, one who sincerely approaches the spiritual master, the great devotees, by the prayers of that great devotee, Krishna personally, from within our hearts, directs us to every possible situation for our purification. What does purification mean? Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshashtameka purusha purana. Purification means Krishna directs us so that we become more and more detached from material enjoyment and attached to His loving service, attached to His holy name. So whatever good or bad may come into our life, we should have this faith that factually it is all temporary. It really doesn't make much difference what happens in this material world. It's all here today and tomorrow gone. Success, failure, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, happiness, distress. It's all coming and going. The real purpose of all the phenomenal world is to bring us closer to Krishna and more detached from material enjoyment. And Krishna is factually orchestrating your life perfectly for that purpose at every moment. If we can simply remember Him and have faith in His grace, then we will be supremely attracted to His loving service. The Brijabasis here, they are explaining that Krishna, He loves us so much. He's so spontaneously attracted to us. How is this possible? We read about how the residents of Vrindavan, each father and mother loved Krishna more than they loved their own children. This is something that cannot be found in material existence. And we find that they would simply raise their children for one purpose, so that they would be nice friends to give enjoyment to Krishna, who is their real object of love. And the younger gopas and gopis, their only meditation in life was simply to show their love for Krishna. But it is explained here that the residents of Vrindavan were also experiencing from the other side, how is it that Krishna is so spontaneously attracted to each and every one of us? When Krishna was dancing with the gopis, it is explained that each gopi was thinking that Krishna is only with me. He has left all the other Braj gopis only to be with me. how much he loves me. And each cowherd boy, when they would be sitting in a circle, taking prasad on the bank of Jamuna, it is explained, there was like tens and thousands of lotus petals all around the whirl of the lotus, which was Krishna. And each cowherd boy would simply be joking and laughing and eating his prasad and offering the best he had to Krishna, simply for Krishna's pleasure. And every one of the gopas was thinking, Krishna is looking at me only. Krishna is laughing and joking with me only. All these other cowherd boys, they are so much better than me, but Krishna loves me so much that he just keeps looking at me. And when you have tens, hundreds and thousands of such cowherd boys, they're all thinking like this simultaneously. Krishna's mine. How much he loves me. How much he cares for me. How is it possible? And the elderly gopas and gopis, they were thinking that Krishna loves us. Why? We are not his parents. He loves us just like we are his own mother and father. This is the infinite nature of Krishna's love. Therefore, he is called Krishna, the all-attractive. And those great personalities who have descended in this world along with Krishna to perform his wonderful lila, they come simply to spread his glories and to spread his love. When Radha and Krishna appeared in this world as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many of the same Vrijvasis that we are reading of here also descended along with him for only one purpose, to spread Krishna's love. The residents of Vrindavan, Vrijvasis, they are eternally living in a very, very, very confidential circle of spiritual ras, which is very, very difficult for anyone to understand. It is practically unapproachable to the people of this material world, except for very, very few fortunate souls. But Krishna and Sri Radharani and their Vrijvasi friends have descended into this world to perform a type of Braj Leela which is so magnanimous that it is welcoming every living being into Braj Bhumi. This is Navadvip Dham. Narottam Das Thakur explains the difference between Vrindavan and Navadvip is simply the magnanimity. Vrindavan is practically unapproachable to anybody, even the highest transcendentalists. Navadvip is the same leela of Radha and Krishna, but it is being profusely open to everyone, even the most sinful, to come and enter into. Krishna has opened all the doors to the spiritual world in his form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And today happens to be a very auspicious day. It is the disappearance day of one of the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We read about the wonderful associates of Krishna in Braj Leela. One of the 12 Gopals of Krishna's Leela is Sridhama. Sridhama is also the younger brother of Sri Radharani. But he is in the mood of Sakyaras. He is eternally exchanging love as an intimate friend of Krishna and Balaram. And these 12 Gopals, the Sakyas of Krishna's Leela, when they descended in Gauralila, they became the intimate confidential associates of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So Sri Dhamma appeared as Ramdas Abhiramdas Thakur. And he was living in a place which is called Kanakula Krishna Nagar. It was a place in Bengal on the banks of the river Kana, and therefore it is called Kanakula. And there is a very famous Krishna temple that is present there. Therefore, it is also called Krishna Nagar. This Abhiram Thakur, who is also called Abhiram Gopal, was a very, very dear and confidential associate of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya ordered Lord Nityananda from Jagannath Puri to go to Bengal to preach and to spread the glories of the holy name throughout all of Bengal, he sent two of his principal associates along with him. One was Gadadhar Das, who according to Gaura Gaunadash Deepika is the incarnation of Sri Radharani's effulgence. And the second was Abhiram Thakur, who was the incarnation of Sri Dhamma. It is described that Abhiram Thakur, he was such a compassionate and loving person. His only business in life was to simply spread love of God to others. He was a very, very powerful scholar. He knew the Shastras very, very deeply. And he could explain the Shastras in such a way that it would just bring the meaning to the life of to life in the heart of whoever heard him. He was also a most exquisite dancer during the kirtan of the holy name. And it is explained that any atheist, any Mayavad, anyone who was not a devotee trembled in fear and would run away when he would approach them. This was his great power. Another manifestation of his power is when he would bow down, when he would offer obeisances. If any stone was present that was not a bona fide Shalagram Shila, it would burst into pieces. It is described that Abhiram, in his town of Kanakula, Krishna Nagar, there was a sacred Bakula tree. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explained that Bakula tree is still there today. And he would sit under that Bakula tree and he would do his bhajan. He would do his devotional practices in the mood of Sakiras. And it is explained that one day when he was resting, Lord Sri Krishna appeared to him in a dream. And he told him that there is a beautiful murti of the name Gopinath who is under the ground, and I will show you exactly where he is. You should bring the townspeople and excavate, and there you should install me in a temple and worship me with great love. So Abhiram Thakur, he went to that place, and they all began to dig and to dig and to dig. And in the excavation, just next to a particular kund of water, they found beautiful, beautiful murti of Sri Gopinath. And Abhiram, upon finding, brought him out and set him up, and everyone bathed in that pond and began to worship him. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, it is explained that anyone who even to this day bathes in that pond, which is called Ramakund, will attain entrance into the loving affairs of Sri Krishna. So Abhiram Thakur worshipped that Gopinath deity with great attention, with great devotion. It is explained that Abhiram Thakur, one day when he was in the mood of a gopa, he just became intoxicated with transcendental love, and he began to dance and to dance and to dance, just like the cowherd boys dance when they are playing with Krishna and Balaram. And then he desired to play a flute. This pastime is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he went into the forest looking for a suitable flute to play. And there he saw an immense, gigantic log, which was so big and so heavy that 16 men could not lift it. And he lifted that log and he started to dance with it and play it as a flute. And he formed 16 holes in that log and began to play beautiful melodies for the pleasure of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's explained also that Abhiram Thakur had a whip. You know what is whip? Something that you either punish people with, or you whip bulls with, or oxen. He had this whip, and this whip was named Jai Mangala. And it is described in the Shastra that whoever Abhiram Thakur would touch with that whip, or whoever he would whip with the whip, would immediately become transformed into a pure devotee of Krishna. So this was his pastime. This was his preaching, whipping people. Rivo. And it is described that after the disappearance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Abhiram, who is considered the most close and confidential associate of Lord Nityananda, he was just cast in an ocean of separation. Although he was so joyful and so jubilant and always preaching and always chanting and also always singing, after the disappearance of Sri Nityananda Ram, Abhiram Thakur became completely silent. He practically could not speak to anyone. He remained in Kanakula Gram, worshipping Gopinath. At one time, the great devotee Srinivasa Acharya, he was traveling to Navadvip Dham in order to have the darshan of Sri Gadadhar Pandit and the other associates of Sri Chaitanya. And on the way, he was instructed to come to that place where one of the greatest of all of the pure devotees of the Lord, Abhiram Thakur, was present. He was very, very, very famous, worshipped and loved by all the Vaishnavas. So when Srinivas came to Kanakula Gram, he met one Brahmin. And he inquired from the Brahmin as to where is the home of Sri Abhiram Gopal. And the Brahmin, just with such love, began to extol the glories of Abhiram Thakur. And he brought him to the home. And when Srinivas Acharya saw this great devotee, he immediately fell in ecstatic love at the feet of Abhiram Thakur and surrendered his life to him. Srinivas Acharya accepted Abhiram Thakur as one of his most principal gurus in his life, Shiksha gurus. And Abhiram Thakur, seeing Srinivas Acharya, it is explained, it was as if he had new life. In the absence of Lord Nityananda, to see such a devotee with such ecstatic love was like seeing his Lord again. And he embraced him and began to cry and cover Srinivas with his tears. Then Abhiram wanted to test Srinivas. He knew that Srinivas had not had any prasad for a long time. So he gave him just a very small amount of money. And he said, "You go to the bank of the river and you prepare prasad for yourself. You have not eaten in a long time." So Srinivas took whatever little he had, bought some grains, few vegetables, began to cook the prasad. Just when it was done, he offered it to Krishna. At that time, Abhiram, he called four Brahmins and he told them, "You go and you go see this Srinivas. He's at the bank of the river." So they all went and they all offered their greetings to Srinivas. And immediately Srinivas offered his respects to all of them and served them all of his prasad. He just took one little morsel as Mahaprasad after he fed them all whatever he had. And Abhiram, when the four Brahmins returned, he was very much satisfied, very much happy, that Srinivas is so detached. He is so much in the mood of servant of a servant. He puts all others before himself in his life. And he was so pleased that he took out his whip. And he began to gently hit Srinivas. And when he touched Srinivas with his whip, Srinivas just fell into an ocean of an ecstatic love that he had never experienced before in his life. And then he hit him again, a second time, and his ecstatic love increased. He hit him a third time, and this prema was just overwhelmingly just inundating his whole mind and heart. And at that time, the wife of Abhiram, whose name was Malini, when Lord Nityananda ordered Abhiram to preach and help him spread the glories of Lord Gauranga throughout Bengal, he also told him he should marry this very virtuous and loving young lady named Malini, who was constantly at his side, assisting him in his preaching. So Malini came in the room and she said, she held Abhiram's hand and she said, "Do not whip him again. He's only a young boy. How much ecstatic love can he tolerate? He's going to fall completely unconscious and he's not going to be able to preach. You want him to preach? Let him continue his life." In this way, Sri Radha Gopinathji Srinivasacharya, taking the blessings of Abhiram Thakur, proceeded in his divine journey. Tanya Mahaprabhu, that they are constantly aspiring to bring everybody to that platform of consciousness where they can understand Krishna's infinite love and be attracted by that love. This is the whole purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. In fact, at one time, when Srila Prabhupada first began this movement in the West, his disciples, they said, "Srila Prabhupada, this idea of Krishna is very difficult for a Western mind to understand. In fact, since this is a non-sectarian movement, and since Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching the universal principles of love of God, we should call this movement the International Society for God Consciousness. Because Krishna, people do not understand what this means." And Srila Prabhupada said, "No. Krishna, the word Krishna means he is all attractive. The purpose of this movement is not simply to get people to understand the greatness of God. The purpose of this movement is to bring people to the level of simply being attracted to the beauty and the glory of Krishna and nothing else and no one else. Therefore, although Krishna is the universal name of God, and in every great religion, Krishna is manifesting, but we want to bring out how God is all attractive. In all the religions, it is explained that God is great. But how God is great? What makes him so great? What is the greatest quality of God? His beautiful, all-attractive, loving Leela with his devotees. And these great associates, like Abhiram Thakur, when they come into this world, this is their mercy. Simply by whatever means they are empowered to do so, to attract everyone's hearts to the loving service of Lord Sri Krishna. And that is our service, on behalf of our spiritual master, to be willing to accept anything or reject anything, and according to our capacity, to simply be an instrument in the hands of the previous acharyas to attract the hearts of the conditioned suffering souls back to the loving service of Krishna. By broadcasting his wonderful pastimes, by broadcasting the beauty and the sweetness of his holy name, anyone who sincerely takes the name of Krishna will gradually become more and more and more attracted to Krishna's infinitely loving qualities. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Any questions? Thank you very much, Haribo.